EFN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hello there, everybody. This is Pastor John Randall, heard here on CSN on a daily walk. And today I'm sitting in for Pastor Mike Kessler. Keep him in prayer. He's under the weather today. And so we want to lift our brother up to the Lord, and looking forward to having him back with us prayerfully tomorrow. So not only is Pastor Mike not here, but guess what? I'm here by myself. It's my first solo mission. So looking forward to hearing from you. If you have questions about the Bible, what we believe, why we believe it. Is it even in the scriptures? That's a good question. Maybe something your pastor taught this weekend that you were unclear on, or something that's just been on your mind for some time. Would you call us here at 888-ASK-CSN? Love to take your questions and hear how things are going and to answer those questions biblically. And we'll do our best to do that. So let's get right into the show, shall we? Let's go to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Ron, welcome to Every Man an Answer. Glad to have you on the show.
Good afternoon, Pastor John. Sorry to hear that Pastor Mike is not feeling well.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep him in prayer, brother.
Have you ever thought of what will happen to the demons when they're cast into the lake of fire? Will they be given physical bodies?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Ron, I had not really thought about that question until, well, you asked it. And as I began to ponder it a little bit, I started to think about the examples in scripture of the demonic spirits and where they are mentioned. First of all, it's important to understand, and I'm sure that many of our listeners know this, that demons are fallen angels. The Bible indicates that there was a third of the angels that fell with Satan somewhere in eternity past, and they do the bidding of the devil. Paul talks about these different rankings of demonic spirits in the book of Ephesians when he talks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So it's not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we're doing battle with these demonic spirits. And you saw during the ministry of Jesus and reading through the Gospels, where he was confronted by those who were possessed by demons. They are called spirits. They are called fallen angels. And as I said, they're called principalities. They do not have physical bodies, but they would actually inhabit or come inside of, possess those physical bodies when they confronted Jesus. Now, we know that one day the Bible makes it clear that these demonic spirits, along with the devil, are going to be cast into the lake of fire where they will burn for eternity. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 tells us the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So demons or fallen angels will be judged in the lake of fire. But it's also important to note that he never tells us that they will be given bodies, to answer your question, Ron, that they won't be given bodies, but just that they will be judged. And they don't require physical bodies to experience judgment. I think of an example in Luke chapter 8, when the demons beg Jesus not to send them to the abyss. The abyss, of course, was a place of torment for spirits, not physical beings. We also know that Satan will be bound in the abyss, Revelation 20 tells us. So if a spirit can be punished and tormented now without a body, they can be punished eternally without one as well. I also think of one other scripture that comes to mind is Revelation chapter 20 that describes the conscious torment, not physical bodies, when it says the devil was thrown into the lake of fire and they, that is along with his demonic spirits, will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We know that the devil is a spirit, the beast and the false prophet, a man and a being along with him, and then the fallen angel. So it doesn't say they receive bodies first, but they will definitely experience judgment for eternity. Does that answer it for you, Ron?
Yes, Pastor. One other thing. Have you ever contemplated eternity and preached on it so people understand that it's a very, very long period of time?
Yes, sir, I have. And I think that's really important, because there is some false teaching out there known as annihilation, that you basically cease to exist eventually. But the Bible says it's forever. There's only two places, Ron, that people, and you know this, that people can spend eternity, either in heaven with Jesus or in hell with the devil. And there's no middle ground. There's no middle place that you go to. It's either one or the other. And eternity is a very long time compared to this life, which the Bible says, well, it's really only a vapor. We're here just for a moment. And folks, if you're listening today and you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you. Today is the day of salvation. Humble yourself, call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Ron, thank you so much for calling there from Prescott. Really appreciate you calling in today, brother. God bless you and keep on studying the word. And great question today. 8888 Ask CSN. We still have a couple of lines open, but right now we want to go out to Alberto. Are you in Georgia, Alberto?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. God bless you. Welcome.
God bless you. Yes, my question, can I go to a gay wedding without participating in a gay wedding? For example, I don't go there for the wedding. I just go there for the big buffet. So I go stuff my plate up real good, because I'm gay people, they got real good jobs and they provide good, expensive quality cakes, lobster, shrimp, mm-hmm. snow crab, and all kind of good food. I just stuff my plate up in the corner, eat it, pray over it, Lord sanctify the food, give them thanks, provide a little card inside an empty envelope with a gospel tract, not tacking their lifestyle, just a simple gospel tract, giving to them and thanking them for the food. I head off on my way, looking for the next gay wedding event in the city. So I'm going to stuff myself up real good. My conscience be just clear. What do you think about that?
Well, let me ask you, have you been invited to the wedding, or are you just presenting a hypothetical situation?
Hypothetical situation.
Okay, so you haven't been invited to the wedding. You're just wondering, for the sake of a question, if, let's say, someone that we know has been invited to a gay wedding, should they go to it and participate in it? And there are differing opinions on that. It's a very sensitive issue, but I do believe that it requires truth. It requires love. It requires wisdom. And, you know, first of all, we have to consider, what does God say about marriage? Well, we go back to the very first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, and we find out what God thinks about marriage, that it is between one man and one woman for life, that God never intended from the very beginning for there to be, as you mentioned, Alberto, a gay wedding, a man with a man or a woman with a woman. That was never God's intention. Now, people have fought for it in political platforms and in judicial systems, and, you know, they're able to go through with it. But just because they go through with it doesn't mean that God honors it or accepts it or recognizes it as a marriage according to scripture. And I think I don't want to celebrate or affirm or participate in what God clearly calls sin. I don't want to violate my own conscience. I want to speak the truth in love. I realize that they are non-believers, but I cannot in good faith, you're asking me my personal pastoral opinion, nor would I encourage anybody in our congregation to go to a gay wedding and be a part of it. Now, granted, if you want to send them a card with a track by not going to the wedding, then go ahead. But by you going there, in essence, you are, even though you say you aren't, you're just there for the food. But really, you are affirming what they're doing. In essence, you are a witness. And this is something that God ordained and sanctified and set apart before the fall of man. God is very serious about how he feels about marriage. And so if you're asking me, should I go, would I go? I would say, I would encourage you from the scriptures and from my perspective, pastoral, I would not encourage anybody to go, but you can still love them. You could still minister to them afterwards, but I could not in good faith go and try to separate. Well, I'm not supporting it. I'm just here for the great food because they make a lot of money. Like, I don't think that's a good reason to go. But I appreciate the question, Alberto. And you never know, you're going to have to take that before the Lord when, if you do ever get invited. But I would say, if you have some friends who are gay and don't know Jesus, well, start by sharing the gospel with them and see what the Lord might do. Really appreciate you calling today there, Alberto. God bless you and look forward to talking to you again next time. 8888, folks, this is Ask CSN, sitting in for Pastor Mike today. He is under the weather. Keep him in prayer. We love that guy. But I'm sitting in for him today, and so I'd love to hear from you. Anybody in California? Come on, people. Anybody out there in the home state here? Love to hear from you guys. But we'll take any call. But we're right now going to go out to, this is Justin in Laramie, Wyoming. Justin, God bless you. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor. I called in regards to, I think it was last year before, we were in a Toby Mac concert in Hawaii. It was an awesome time. But anyways, we signed up for a World Vision thing to support a kid.
Yeah.
And so my mom just got a letter the other day saying that that you are no longer allowed to mention the name of Jesus. Otherwise, the authorities will take the letter that you're sending to the kid. So do we continue to support and donate this World Vision and this kid, or I don't agree with the whole not bringing Jesus Christ into conversations with a kid that we're supporting?
Yeah, I understand that. And I have heard, and again, I'm not the authority on World Vision, but I have heard over the years, and we've done some work overseas in some third world countries, and we did run into a couple of situations where we were not on the same page. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and double check me on this, fact check me on this, but I think some of the leadership in World Vision has changed over the years. I believe when it started out, and maybe they still affirm this. I don't support personally financially World Vision, but I do support other organizations that God is using that minister to children. There's Compassion International. There is Promise Child. These are some of the other organizations that do a real, and I even went on a trip to Thailand with Compassion International, got to see exactly what they were doing. And their emphasis is, yes, they want to minister to the needs of the people and they want to help the community, but they're not ashamed, Justin, to bring the gospel into it. And I think, you know, sometimes we, in some organizations, we want to feed the people, but if all we do is feed them and we don't tell them about Jesus, what have we really done? Because they would still perish without the Lord. And I think it's one thing to be and provide humanitarian aid, but the blessing is to be able to go, and we're not saying you can't have this humanitarian aid unless you convert. We're saying we want to give you this aid and we want to tell you where it comes from. It comes from Jesus. And so for me, I would be, again, my perspective on this, my thoughts is I would love to partner with an organization where I actually can talk about Jesus and I could write Jesus's name and Jesus loves you. And I think there are many organizations that do that, Compassion being one of them, but I would also maybe send an email to the organization itself and just saying, hey, is this, have you guys changed your perspective on this? Have you changed your belief system on this? Why is it? I mean, I'd love, did they give you a reason, Justin? Why? Or they just said, don't do that?
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, is why would they even still give them Bibles and stuff like that if you can't, you know, mention the name of Jesus? And I think it's in Nigeria, I think she said.
Okay. I don't know if that means it's a more dangerous part. Obviously, there's a lot of danger in Nigeria. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it's in the Muslim territories, but my first reaction would be, I'm going to reach out to World Vision. I'm going to talk to somebody. Say, hey, listen, we sponsor a child in this area. This is what we heard. Is something changed? Can you give me a reason? And then if the reason wasn't, if there wasn't a good reason, then maybe I would change my financial support to some other organization that I knew could do that. But maybe there is a logical explanation. I don't know what it is, but I would definitely follow up. And depending on the response that I received, would determine where I would send my resources. But I love to partner with organizations that take the gospel, because that ultimately, Justin, you know this, but that is what people need. They need salvation. And that's, we see this open door and we want to take the gospel into those places and also provide for their needs, education, food, et cetera, but also to see them come to know Christ is so important. So does that help you, Justin?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, I will have a talk with her and just tell her that she needs to contact them and find out truly. I mean, I know that she loves supporting this kid and has gotten letters from this kid, but if they cannot mention the name of Jesus Christ to these kids, then really what is it doing? So What was that other one? Compassion
International, also Promise Child. Promise Child is great because 100% of everything goes to the children itself, which is really, I always love that one. We actually, myself, my wife and I partner with them and have really appreciated the work that they do with the children. And so something to consider.
Nope, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for your input.
Thanks so much for calling. I really appreciate it. And God bless you and supporting those who are. The Bible says to remember the poor. And I think that is important for us and something that it's worth supporting that something and being involved with it. So may God continue to guide and direct you as you seek him for that. God bless you. And let's go out to D. This is D in St. Louis, Missouri. D, you're on to Every Man and Answer.
Hello. My question is, I'm trying to find out. We had a conversation yesterday with one of our church groups, and I was trying to find out if there's an individual that's saved, they believe in God, and they live like, from what we can see, they're living life they should be living. But then you find out that this individual was cheating on his wife. And something bad happened. He's not here on earth anymore. So I'm trying to find out, other than blasphemy and denying Christ, are there any other sins that would keep us from heaven?
Well, I think that the difference is the response would be the difference between practicing sin and actually committing sin. In other words, if somebody says, I'll give you an example. I am a Christian, and yet I live my life in unrepentant, blatant sin. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul writes to the church and he says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, don't be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about those who are consistently practicing those things. They're not even thinking about repenting. They're just living and thinking we're good. And Paul says, listen, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the other side of that, D, would be somebody who, let's say, has sinned. You mentioned the sin of adultery. My mind goes to that passage in scripture where Jesus ministered in John chapter 8 to the woman who was actually caught in the act of adultery. John chapter 8, verse 1, and he confronted her and he said, where are your accusers? Who condemns you? And she said, no one, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I condemn you. And he's the only one who had the right to do so. But he said, here's my response to you. Go and sin no more. And I think that's the difference. If somebody has repented of sin, that's different than somebody who's living in sin, no desire to repent, and they're just living. They say they know Jesus, but you would never be able to tell by the fruit. Ultimately, the person that decides whether a person is saved is Jesus. He is the only judge. We can inspect the fruit, we can see, but ultimately Jesus is the judge. So blasphemy of the spirit is the one sin that cannot be forgiven. That's what you mentioned. That is where the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin, to draw us to the Savior. And people are separated from God because they've rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is to draw us to Jesus. So that would be the one unforgivable sin, which to me is so, I'm so thankful because I've committed sins in my life and there's only one that is not forgivable, and that is the blasphemy of the Spirit. And I haven't done that because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and he has washed me of all my sins. So does that help you, Dee?
I don't have to. Yeah, it kind of helps. I guess, I know a lot of us that are in Christ, we want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do. And, I know we get nervous when we feel like we fall short, and it does say we fall short. The glory of God, and because we're not perfect people, but I just want to make sure that if you you know, if we're dying in our sins and we don't say, you know, Lord, forgive me before we leave this earth, you know, that nothing, that there's no way you can lose your salvation.
Yeah.
And like
well,
you said,
I would,
the only judge
yeah.
is.
Yeah, I would say to that, that's a really good question. I would say, let me put it to you this way, D. If anybody is knowingly living in sin, I wouldn't want to live that way and then die that way. I don't, there's too much tension in the scriptures. I'd rather just abide in Jesus. And sin is pleasurable for a season, but it brings destruction. And the fact is, and you said it, D, and I think you said it well, we all fall short. We all sin. That's why when we sin, we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We repent of sin and we say, God, forgive me. We keep short accounts with the Lord. And it's one thing to stumble into sin, and we all do. It's another thing to choose to live in it unrepentantly. And that is the difference. And that's important to make that distinction. So Dee, thank you so much for calling today. If you stay on the line, I'd love to send you out some materials that I think will be a tremendous encouragement to you. And God bless you. I'm really glad that you're with your friends and you guys are talking about these things and you're really, you know, searching it together, sharpening one another. That is so, so good to do as believers. So God bless you there, sis, out in St. Louis, Missouri. God bless. Let's go. Hey, Stephen, California, how are you? Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for calling. How can I help you today?
Yeah. So, my question is, I feel a calling, to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And, I go to a Calvary Chapel here in California, Barstow. Mm-hmm. One of the, I'm an elder there currently right now. And, I feel like if I were to go to Bible college, that it would equip me a little bit more. It's not mm-hmm. necessary to go, but one of the schools that I was considering going to, it's kind of like a four-square background where they have women pastors,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are professors, and you know I have some college background in me as well.
Right,
I've been in college with women professors, but biblically, I just want to know your thoughts on going to a college, a Bible college that has women pastors. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that I would say is I want to just commend you as you have a desire to be a pastor. You know, Paul wrote and he said, he who desires that position desires a good thing. That's a blessing that, and I don't think that's something that you come up with on your own. Some people do. I think they look at ministry and think, boy, that would be really great. Maybe I should do that. And, but for others, it's actually a calling. And I think if that is something that you're sensing, Stephen, that's a blessing. I'm glad that you're in a church that teaches the word, that you are serving as an overseer, as an elder in that fellowship. That is, you're already doing the work of the ministry. And I commend that. As it relates to going to a seminary that has female pastors teaching the courses, yes, personally, I would have a hard time with that because and especially at a Calvary chapel, you know, we hold to the word and we believe that that role of the pastor is reserved for the brothers in Christ, that was God's direction. And we would be, if you want to call it complementarian, that women have gifts and can teach, et cetera, but are not called to pastor. So I would personally, in light of those scriptures in 1 Timothy, I would have a difficult time and would not encourage. If guys are coming to me saying, I feel called to the ministry, do you think I should go to, I would say, no, I would not encourage that myself. There's a lot of great schools out there that would probably fit more with your convictions. According to scripture, even Calvary Bible University, you can attend that even online from where you're at in Barstow, and you could be able to grow and continue to stir up those gifts. And I think if you're teaching on a regular basis, if you have a Bible study you're teaching, maybe a home fellowship, something that also will cultivate that gift and that desire that you have, and just serving faithfully alongside of your pastor is a blessing. For some people, seminary is the way to go, but a lot of times there are seminaries out there now that have completely departed from inerrancy of scripture. I mean, the things that they're teaching, you think, what in the world are they talking about? And it's no surprise because you see the churches sometimes that come out of those seminaries and you see all the confusion and you realize, oh, okay, that's what they're producing. So to answer your question, I would encourage you, especially the fact that you're part of the Calvary Chapel of Churches, there's a lot of other options to further equip you in your calling, in the work of the ministry. Does that help, Stephen?
Yes, it does a lot. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Yeah. Well, how are you serving at your church currently? We got just 2 minutes, but just what are you doing right now?
Yes. Right now, I teach a Friday night Bible study.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're doing the book of Jeremiah.
Wow.
We're currently doing Calvary Chapel Distinctives.
Oh, wow. Well, you're on the right track, bro. You just keep doing what you're doing. Keep growing in that gift and, you know, feeding the sheep, you know, loving the sheep, caring for them, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. I think the fact that your pastor in Barstow has recognized you as an elder, that says something too. That says that you are effective in what you're doing. And I don't know that seminary would add, might add a few things. You might learn some things, but I think, again, there's a lot of great biblically based Bible colleges and resources available that you could take that would work with your schedule and really continue to grow you in that way. So I really appreciate the call, Stephen. God bless you. Please say hello to your pastor for us out there at Calvary Barstow. And thank you so much for listening. You stay on the line. Love to send you out some materials, some things that might, well, be an encouragement to you. Folks, we are coming up on a break here. That was a quick half hour. If you would like to call and have a question answered, 8888-ASK-CSN. That's 8888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open. And when we come back, we're going to be heading out to Massachusetts, friends, and then to Florida and Idaho. And boy, it's going to be great. So stick around. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed, because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and copayments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday edition. I'm your host today, John Randall, from Calvary South OC in San Clemente, California. If you ever find your way out here to Southern California, oh, would you come see us? We'd love to meet some of our CSN family. And on occasion, people will come and visit the church and we get to meet them. And it's just a blessing to connect with you, to meet you. And we're just grateful to be a part of of this CSN family. And so glad for your calls today at 888 Ask CSN. Right now, we're going to go out to our friend Carrie in Massachusetts. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, Pastor, I just had a question. If an individual accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior on Judgment Day, are they judged for their works on earth? And does that determine your eternity in heaven?
Very good question. And I appreciate the question you're asking. First of all, let's make a distinction that there are two different judgments. One for the non-believer who has not accepted Christ. And the Bible refers to that as the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, where the Bible says that the books, plural, will be opened and everyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. That is for the non-believer. But the Bible does also indicate that there is a judgment for the believer, but it's different. And it's different because it's not a judgment to condemnation, but for accommodation. In other words, Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins. He paid the penalty for us. So he was judged in our place. However, when we stand before the Lord, the Bible says we're going to stand before what's called the judgment seat. It's called the Bema seat. And the Bema seat was a place where in ancient times, if you were competing in the Olympics or the Isthmian Games, you would receive a reward. And from the judgment seat, from the Bema seat, you would be rewarded. And Paul uses that illustration saying we as believers are going to be rewarded for the work we have done. The passages to consider would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, when Paul writes, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, he alludes to it again and said, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But this is just for believers. So we are redeemed. We are saved. We are in Christ. And the Bible tells us there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Romans 8, 1. The Bible tells us that we have eternal life and will not, I love that, emphasize, not come into judgment. John chapter 5, verse 24, because we pass from death to life. Our sins are judged at the cross. Salvation is secure. And this is not a judgment of whether or not we're going to get into heaven. That's already decided. We are sealed. We are with the Lord. And so we are going to be rewarded for faithfulness, for the motives, for stewardship, and what we did basically with what God gave us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, Paul describes the believer's works being tested by fire. He said they're going to be tested like gold, silver, and precious stones and will be rewarded. And all the wood, hay, and stubble, stuff that really didn't matter, that's just in a sense consumed, burned up, but we're going to be rewarded. We are saved. We don't lose our reward. And our works are going to be evaluated and rewarded. And the Bible does, by the way, Carrie, if I may, talk about what our works are or what our rewards are, rather. The Bible describes a crown of life in James 1:12, a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8, a crown of glory for faithful pastors, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. I'm really hoping to get that one. Incorruptible crown for self-discipline, 1 Corinthians 9:25. And of course, the crown of rejoicing for soul winning, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. So we will be there in heaven. We're going to be rewarded and enter into that time with Jesus. I can't wait. I'm just looking forward to seeing my Savior. And I'm sure that you are too, Carrie. Does that answer it for you?
That definitely does. I appreciate your time.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. And I just would say to you and to all of our listeners, hey, let's keep living for the Lord. It's worth it because one day we are going to be rewarded. We're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And that is going to be all the things of this world. It just won't matter anymore. We're just going to see Jesus. That's going to be amazing. So Carrie, thank you so much for calling there from Massachusetts. God bless you. And stay on the line. Love to send you out some materials. And that would be an encouragement to you as you continue to walk with the Lord Jesus. Let's go out to James in Idaho. James, welcome to Every Man an Answer.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, James.
Okay. Well, my question was regarding the Holy Spirit. I've always, like, when I share the gospel with someone, or I've always understood it myself, that once you repent and you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was reading, and I think it's in the book of Acts, about Simon the sorcerer, that he converted to Christianity, and then he wanted to buy the ability or be taught how to lay hands on someone and give them the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I was just wondering if what's going on there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. If the question is the question primarily what was going on with Simon, or is the question, when do we receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, both. I mean, both would be good, just because, you know, clarification on when we do receive the Holy Spirit and what's going on, what was going on with Simon.
Okay. All right. I'll do my best on that one. Thanks so much, James. Well, first of all, when we think about the Holy Spirit, he is God. Let's be clear on that. Third person in the Trinity, all of the characteristics and attributes that are attributed to the Father and to the Son are also mentioned concerning the Holy Spirit. He is God. And the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, John chapter 14, John chapter 16, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were very concerned that Jesus was going away. And Jesus said, don't worry, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to come alongside of you. Jesus said he's going to be with you, just John 14. He will be with you. He will be in you. And then Acts 1:8, Jesus said he will come upon you. He will empower you for service. The Holy Spirit is involved in our conversion. Without the Holy Spirit, no one would be saved. He's the one that convicts us. He's the one that shows us our need for a Savior. He's the one that draws us to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is involved. And when we are born again, we are, the Bible says, born of the Spirit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, for example, we see the Spirit's work, but it was a rarity. You'd see it only on certain individuals. If you think about it, those who were filled with the Spirit, people like, well, Samson in Judges chapter 14, for example, or David in 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of God came upon him when he was anointed by Samuel. Saul even had it. The prophets, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. How about this? In his mother's womb. That's exciting. But so we see this, it was a rarity. However, once Jesus died and rose again and ascended, the Spirit of God, after the day of Pentecost, available to anyone who would desire it. Jesus said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we are encouraged to ask. Now, when you study through the book of Acts, and there is some differing opinion on this, but I'll present it to you. There is some differing opinion on when the Spirit of God comes upon you or empowers you. Now, when you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are part of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that very clearly. We are baptized, as it were, into the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. But when you go through the book of Acts, we see the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that happened, and you were alluding to it, James, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happened at conversion. And then there are other moments when you read through the book of Acts that it happened after conversion. In other words, the answer is it can happen at conversion or it can happen after conversion. Not everybody holds to that or believes that, but I do believe in studying through the book of Acts, and there are great people who would disagree, that there is a secondary subsequent work to an empowering where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Those who received it at salvation, you could think of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, when Peter came and spoke to him. And after Peter began speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon him. We also see the examples after salvation, individuals that were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul would be one example, and others, and even the one that you alluded to, the revival that took place in Samaria where Philip was down there, they were all saved. This is a great example, James. They were all born again, and Peter and John were called from Jerusalem to come down and pray over these new believers. For what purpose? They're new believers. If they had everything they needed, why did they need anything else? They needed to be prayed for that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John come down, all these new believers, they pray over them. And guess what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. And that is when Simon said, hey, what's that? What was that? How'd you do that? something was manifested. Something happened that caused him to think, whatever you guys did, I'd love to write you a check so I can, you know, he was formerly a magician. He wanted to throw that in his bag of tricks, you know, and Peter just rebukes him and points out where he was in error. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be at conversion or it can be after conversion, according to the book of Acts. One other example that I will cite, and that is in Acts chapter 19, and that is there in Acts chapter 19, where Paul the apostle is up in the area of Ephesus, and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit, Acts 19:2, when you believed?" And this was their response: "We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit." Like, they believed, but they hadn't yet, they didn't know about the work of the Holy Spirit. So Paul prays over them, and after they experienced the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I know for sure, folks, whether you call it the filling, the overflowing, the baptism of, I need the Holy Spirit. I want, Lord, whatever you have, just overflow my life. I'm thirsty. I want that living water of the Spirit to flow out of my life that Jesus promised there in John chapter 7 on that great day of the feast. James, does that answer it for you?
Oh yeah, that was a great answer. Thank you so much. I appreciate the way you can listen and, just answer these questions with so much patience, and thank you so much.
Oh, James, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my brother, out there in Idaho. God bless, and thanks again for calling, brother, and may the Lord baptize us afresh, amen, with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Spirit of God in our life, and the Spirit wants us, and that's just yielding to that work. So God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Susan. Hey, you're there in Twin Falls. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, I have a California question for you, but I'm not from California.
All right.
My question is in regards to Point Loma Nazarene University,
mm-hmm.
not accepting to do a chartered chapter of Turning Point USA
right.
on their campus. So I don't
yes.
know if you have any insight in regards to that. I guess it has something to do with Turning Point USA's professor watch list.
That is correct.
Whatever that
yeah.
means.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. Well, so the question is, what's going on with that? Say, listen, is that the question, Susan?
Because I know Pacific okay. Justice was willing to, you know, go to fight for mm-hmm. Institute, was willing yeah. to, you know, go to bat for, you know, the universities that were denying.
And I hope that they do. I think that's good. And so just for some of you maybe listening, you know, you haven't heard about this. You don't know about this. Turning Point USA, of course, that is the work that was started by Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated. By the way, a personal friend of mine, and both he and his wife were personal friends of myself and my wife, and we miss him dearly. I still, even talking about it, it grieves me. It chokes me up because I miss him. And his voice was so powerful, and God used him in such an incredible way. But these Turning Point chapters they have on all different campuses. And what's unfortunate is, and what makes it really unfortunate is that you have Point Loma Nazarene, which is supposed to be a quote unquote Christian college, which I do not believe that it is. And I can say that with some authority because I have students that attend our church, have gone to school there and can tell you they've had to contest with their professors just for being Christians themselves. It's unfortunate. Not every school that started out as a Christian school remained one, i.e. Harvard and others. I mean, they've changed. So many of these schools started out and they were biblically solid. And I think Point Loma is just another one of those that's gone woke and gone that direction. And I think this is evidence of the fact that they won't allow a Turning Point USA chapter on campus, but they'll allow the LGBTQ chapter. They'll allow they'll allow any of these other things. But the reason why they're trying to deny Turning Point is, as you mentioned, Susan, they have a professor watch list, which is basically helping students know what to look out for. If you got these woke professors that are teaching things that are more indoctrination rather than education, well, they I don't think it's wrong to warn a student who's paying incredible amount, or parents are rather, incredible amount of money to go to this school where this professor is, and you might want to be aware of that. So when they got wind of that, that is when they denied it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there have been three attempts at trying to start a chapter. And it wouldn't surprise me if students were really serious about wanting to make a stand, that they could it could go legal. I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I think they have a right to do that. I don't think they should be marginalized. I don't think they should be, you know, isolated because they have differing beliefs. I thought that's what the campus was for, especially a quote Christian campus. So it's unfortunate, but I think this is kind of the way of the world. People, not everybody has courage. Not everybody wants to stand. And you know, some would like to be, you know, more quote unquote tolerant. Of course, that is a one-way street. You be tolerant of them. They don't have to be tolerant of you. And so it's just the world that we live in. And Jesus told us this. So I think it's important for us to pray for those students. And well, I pray that God would do something amazing on that campus. Maybe there'd be revival. Maybe the faculty would repent. Maybe God would awaken these college campuses. And he is in many places. It's happening. But boy, it breaks my heart to see where Point Loma has gone over the last few years. And it's been happening for quite some time. And but I think this is just another evidence that kind of points out where they're at. So Susan, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Keep those kids in prayer. Let's see what God might do, because there are believers on that campus. And there are teachers probably there too that love the Lord, but they're in the situation that they're in. But you know, we know that God's word can't be stopped. So we'll just pray that God does a work there on Point Loma Nazarene. If you're listening, we're praying for you. God bless you. Susan, stay on the line. Love to send you out some materials. And God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Daniel, let's go to Daniel, another friend from California. Daniel, where in California are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tracy, California.
Now, where is Tracy?
Tracy is up toward, right over by Stockton, up toward Sacramento.
Okay, gotcha. Sacramento. Oh, I'm familiar. A lot going on up there. Daniel, what's your question today? God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Got it.
So me and my wife, we've went to a couple different big concerts for some of these Christian artists.
Yeah.
And I went to one not too long ago, and it's a pastor I've been following online. I really like him. And then obviously the band as well. My question is, when we were there, there was somebody outside on a megaphone talking about, idols, like how people were there idolizing these bands and idolizing these pastors and things like that. And I couldn't help, but it kind of hit me, I guess. I mean, I guess it'd be conviction maybe, but it kind of hit me, and I'm like, people are paying hundreds of dollars to go and see these bands. You know, are we here for the right reason?
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's a good question.
So I was paying attention throughout the thing and after, and people are lining up like crazy to take pictures with the band and all this stuff. And I'm like, maybe the guy was with them, maybe he's right in a way, you know? And I mean, that could have just been me personally, but it's like, how many people are there for the right reason? Am I there for the right reason?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good question. And so are you trying to like ask, how do I discern whether I'm there for the right, is that the right thing to do? Should we be doing that? You know, et cetera. Is that kind of the question? Or
like I said, people are, you know, I'm paying hundreds of dollars to go and see these people. And it's like, my question would be like, what would Jesus's opinion be on people paying hundreds of dollars to go see these bands and these pastors?
Yeah. It is a very good question. One that I have personally as a pastor have wrestled with. So I'm right there tracking with you. Things that I've had to run through the grid of scripture in my own heart and with the Holy Spirit. You know, I think it's important to be clear. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But servants through whom you believed. I think it's important for us to realize that these people who take that platform, they're just people. They're just servants. They should not be. And I think you mentioned it, that we should never, and you're not doing this, but I don't think we should idolize them. I don't think we should ever put them on some pedestal. We don't want to, there's only one person, by the way, that deserves glory. And that is Jesus. Isaiah 42:8 tells us, my glory, the Lord said, I will not give to another. That means not to the pastor, not to the worship leader, not to ministries, not to influencers, podcasters, movements, even church names. All the glory belongs to the Lord. And I think idolatry, truthfully, it can be, you know, I think it's kind of subtle in some ways, because it starts with admiration and then it turns into fixation. You got to be careful of that. And sometimes people, you know, we live in a culture that is all about promoting self. And I think we have to be careful of that. And I wonder, you know, I grew up in a time, Daniel, and I'm probably older than you, but I grew up in a time when, you know, worship leaders in music and churches, and it was just free. It wasn't about that. But I'll tell you this, the worship industry, and it is what it is. It is probably one of the largest, and I have friends who work in the industry, one of the largest financial arenas that there are. I mean, it's incredible where worship music has gone. In one sense, it's like, well, it's great that worship's getting out there. In another sense, I think we have to guard our own hearts. We have to be careful that we don't idolize, and we need to be good stewards of what God gives us. And I think everybody has to know in their own heart, what's the Holy Spirit saying to me? If I have a conviction and it violates my conscience, then okay, that's God speaking to me. Now, not everybody may feel the same way, but I think it is something worth doing what you're doing. And that is, Lord, let me put this in front of you. What do you say about this? I mean, I love worship music. I mean, our station here plays great music. I love all of it. And I understand there's people are making a living off of it. I don't want to be caught up in idolatry or worshiping these people. I just want to worship Jesus. And so it's a good question, brother, that you ask. And I think we have to be careful and guard that we don't go down that road of idolatry or somehow elevating these people or beyond what they should be. And Lord Jesus, what do you think? I know that a lot of those people that lead, they genuinely love Jesus. And they started out playing in their, you know, I have a friend who is well known, and I'm going to drop a name here, but I'm nobody, but I'm just saying I grew up knowing Phil Wickham, and he is, and I know him as a person, not just as somebody I've seen on a platform. I've actually been on the streets with Phil when he was 17 in Scotland doing ministry together. And that's before anybody knew who he was. I knew when he was selling units out of the back of his car. He was selling CDs. I mean, this kid has just been, it's going for it. And now I know him as a man and as a father and as a brother. And he's the real deal. Phil never got into it because of all the money he could make. He got into it because he's a worshiper. So it's nice to have that perspective, but he's a man, just like anybody else who takes the platform. So, but it's nice when you know these guys are genuine and their heart is right. They're not in it for the money. They're in it for Jesus. And who knows what they do with their money. That's between them and the Lord. They probably give it and serve and all of that. So, you know, it's good. It's a good question, Dan. You make me think a lot. Does that help at all?
It does. It does. And like I said, you know, I'm not here to judge. I'm not judging anyone else for going or the artists themselves. It's more of, you know, where's my heart at and how do I discern whether I should be there or not?
Yeah. And that's good. I think that's, as long as if that's a conviction I have, well, maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, maybe I shouldn't be there. Should I, you know, how about this? Should I spend my money on, should I download Netflix? Is that good? Does God want me to have that? I'm spending my money on that. If I'm spending my money on this, you could run it through everything. And I think, you know what? The Lord's the Lord of our life. We need to put all those things before him and say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to spend your money, Lord? This is yours. And, you know, so God will show you. And I appreciate the question, Daniel. I think it's a good one. And it's one that we need to be asking. I really believe that. And I appreciate you calling out there and out there in Tracy. So God bless you and look forward to hearing from you again and stay on the line and send you out some stuff. We got time for one more question. Oh, we got about 2 minutes. Let's go to Christina in Oklahoma. Christina, welcome to Every Man an Answer.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I truly appreciate it.
Welcome.
Quick question. So I have a best friend who really is struggling with alcoholism, and I really pray for this person every day. Now, this person loves the Lord with all their heart and wants to be free so bad.
Okay.
How can I help this person? What can I do to hold space and stand in the gap the way God would want me to for this person?
Wow. I think, you know, what's amazing is that you're praying. I think that is so powerful. And I think Galatians 6:1 says, if you see somebody overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, go in a spirit of gentleness, seeking to restore them. I think that is really important. There's humility, there's empathy, there's understanding, but there is not, but it's not approval. You don't want to approve of what they're doing. I think if I have people, and I have, who need help, I want I want to get them where they can get help. And I think that's really important to encourage that, to help them say, listen, we'll get you to this U-Turn for Christ, for example, a great program where they can be free from that and recognizing that they need help. But I think everything that you're doing in prayer and lifting them up is the place to start. And if you're listening today and you have friends like that, like Christina has, hey, don't stop praying. Keep reaching out to them that they would come to Christ. Thanks so much, everybody, for calling today. Look forward. If we missed you, come back tomorrow. We'll be here to Every Man an Answer. Have a great night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.